So the past 6 weeks, we've looked at various parts of the Bible that teach us about the kingdom of God, right? The number one subject that Jesus spoke about during his ministry, his teaching, and his preaching here on earth. If you'll remember, his very first message was what? It was repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. And then in his last words to his disciples, he's still talking about the kingdom of heaven, right? His instructions to his disciples, and ultimately to you and to me, on how we're supposed to go out now and advance his kingdom as we wait for him to return, right? We're to live, every single one of us, right? And then together as a church family with this mindset that we are advancing the kingdom of God. And the number one way that you and I can do that is to use the talents and the gifts and the abilities and the skills that God has given us. If you're taking notes, you can put this at the top of your paper. Our sermon today is just simply called Kingdom Purpose. And the prayer is that each and every one of us would find our sweet spot when it comes to advancing the kingdom of heaven. Several of you have been wondering what this is for, and you maybe clicked when I said sweet spot. I was getting out of the car this morning, and I told my 10-year-old, I was like, hey, grab that bat and bring it inside. And he was obedient, didn't ask any questions, and he brought it in. His 7-year-old trailed behind and said, what are you going to do with that? I said, I'm going to use it in my sermon. And he goes, you're going to hit somebody with it? It's like, he's got a lot of confidence in me. But listen, it's baseball season. This is my last year to be a starting pitcher on an 8-year-old baseball team because they need a dad to pitch, right? And my youngest will graduate up. It'll be kid pitch. And so I'll be retired from that. And I'm thankful that I'll be out of a job. But my job and the job of the players is to ensure the ball finds the sweet spot of the bat. Now, unfortunately, Thursday night in our scrimmage, I looked like Justin Verlander, and I was mowing 8-year-olds down like crazy. Cody, we might be calling on you to come and help me out. But listen, we want them to hit it on the sweet spot, sort of right here in the middle of the thick part of the barrel of the bat, right? And if you don't play baseball, here's the reason why. If you're sort of timid and you're moving away from the plate and you hit it here off the end of the bat, it's not going to go very far, right? It's not going to be a very good hit. In the same way, if you're a little slow and you don't get through and you hit it off this part of the bat right here, it's not going to be a good hit. It's not going to go very far. But if you're engaged, if you're working hard, if you're doing what you need to do, if you get that bat to the ball at the right time, at the right point, and you hit it off this thick, good, sweet spot of the bat, that's the most productive hit you're going to have. It's the hardest hit. It's going to go the farthest. It's the most exciting. It's the sweet spot when it comes to a baseball game. And as we look at God's word this morning, the prayer for us, that the dream of the Kingdom Project, the dream of this series is to help every one of us, right? Everyone in our church family here discover their sweet spot, right? Where they operate best when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God, right? Well, we're to use everything that Jesus has entrusted to us to advance his kingdom. He talks a lot about that in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. If you've got a Bible, open up there. We're going to be in Matthew 25 here in just a minute. And just know that these two chapters here, a lot of times are called the Olivet Discourse because Jesus, he's teaching on the Mount of Olives as he speaks these words here. And the timeline of these chapters, it really matters a lot in the grand scheme of things. We need to understand that as we read this parable today, that it's one of the last things that Jesus teaches his disciples before he goes to the cross. And just know, in these chapters, he spends time teaching them and preparing them for the reality of the cross, for the reality of the resurrection, for the reality of his departure, and then for his eventual return. He talks to them about that. He says, I'm going to die, I'm going to raise, I'm going to ascend to heaven, and one day I'm going to return. I want you to understand, he gives a timeline of events, but he does not give a time frame. He doesn't say when he's going to return. In chapter 24, we actually see that he says the delay is going to be long, and that only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. And he's telling us in chapter 25, while he's gone, every one of us, we are entrusted with what we have. We are entrusted with what we have in order to advance his kingdom. Matthew 25, look at verse 14. God's word says this. It's going to be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Paul's there. It will be like, refers to the kingdom of heaven, right? And he gives us this picture of a man entrusting his property, his possessions, his money to his servants. And I want you to look at that word carefully. He is entrusting it. He is not giving it. You understand that difference, right? When he entrusts the property to his servants, he still owns it, right? It still belongs to him, even though it's in their hands for a season. And he leaves it with them to use it, to steward it, to work with it, to make a profit or an impact for it. It's to be used in a way that would be pleasing to the owner. Verse 15 says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one he gave 1. To each one according to his ability, and then the master goes away. The master's passed out his possessions. He's gone on his way. And without doing a first century lesson on Jewish finance and accounting, you just need to understand that the talents are hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece, right? So he's entrusting much to them. Even the one that only got the 1 talent, he has been entrusted with much. He has been put in a position to be responsible for a whole lot for his master. Verse 16, the one that had received the 5 talents, he went at once and he traded with them and he made 5 talents more. Great job. So also the one who had 2 talents, he went out and he made 2 talents more. They got to work. Look at verse 16. When did they get to work? At once. At once, right? At once they got to work. They got started. They didn't wait for a special situation. Right, they didn't wait for the circumstances of their lives to be just perfect. They didn't wait to move from one season of life to the next season of life. They got to work with what they had been entrusted, and they got to work right away. They were both profitable. Right? They were wise. They were disciplined. They worked hard. They tried. They did their best. Verse 18. But the one that had received the 1 talent, he went and he dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. This guy's strategy, significantly different. He took what he had. He didn't want to lose it, so he buried it. He didn't put it to work. He made zero impact for his master, zero impact for his community. He made zero impact. He's shown zero intention for using it in a way to benefit the master. Look at verse 19. After a long time, the master of the servants came and settled accounts with them. The one that had received the 5 talents, he came forward and he brought 5 talents more. And he said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 more for you. And his master said, listen to these words. This is where this comes from. His master said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. Now I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy. That's a key word. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one that had 2 talents, same thing. He came forward and said, you gave me 2. I'm bringing back 2 in addition to that. And his master again says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. The same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now listen, and that's a phrase that I want to hear God say to me when I stand face to face before him at the end of my life. Well done, good and faithful servant. And I promise you want to hear that too. Amen. Right? Every single one of us. That's what these guys heard from the master. You know why they heard it? They heard it because they were faithful. That they heard it because they lived with what the master entrusted them in a way that would make their master happy, in a way that they would honor him, and that because they were faithful over little, they were set over much, and they were both invited into the what? Into the joy of the master. The one with 5 talents didn't get a better response than the one with 2 talents. Because the point that Jesus is making here is not the amount. The point is the faithfulness. The point is living in a way while Jesus is away, as we wait for him to return, it's living in a way that advances his kingdom and brings glory and honor to him. Verse 24, he also who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, what you've got is yours. The master said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I haven't sown and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming, I at least should have received what is my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 talents. This guy gets a different response, doesn't he? He doesn't hear, well done, good and faithful servant. He doesn't hear, enter into the joy of your master. This guy is called wicked and lazy for not using what was entrusted to him in a way that honored the master. Verse 29, it says, everyone who has, more will be given, and he'll have an abundance. But from the one that has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, this is not about money. Jesus isn't saying we're going to take from the poor and give to the wealthy. This is not a finance. This is not a business course here. It's a parable. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus is helping us understand a spiritual concept, and that's this. We've been entrusted various talents by God. And he tells this story to help us remember that they are his, not ours, and that the reason he's entrusted them to us is so that we could use them in a way that brings glory to him. Right? We're called to use what we have been given to advance the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. And this parable, it really drives that home. If we read it with a desire to live it out, if we read it with a desire to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, we need to ask ourselves a couple of questions here in order to live it out and process it in our lives. And the first question is just a simple question. Jesus talks about his departure, and he talks about his return. We need to ask ourselves, are we waiting for the return of Jesus? The truth is that a lot of times we get pretty wrapped up and focused on life here, right? We're looking down, we're not looking up. And we don't spend much time thinking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. Remember the context of this chapter. Jesus has just laid out this timeline of what's going to happen. He's saying, I'm going to go. That this is no surprise to them, it's no surprise to us. He's saying that I'm going to go, but I'm coming back. While I'm gone, wait for me. While I'm gone, live in a way that shows me you are ready for my arrival. What's waiting look like? You don't stop everything you're doing, right, and lay out in a hammock staring at the sky waiting for Jesus to come back, right? But you've got to stay ready. All right, it's been a while now, but I remember when Chelsea was pregnant with our oldest, right? Right around the eighth month, we lived in this constant state of readiness, right? Where we just lived anticipating the arrival of our firstborn son. We were on high alert, right? The bags were packed, that the car seat was already snapped into the car. It was ready to go. Chelsea even gave me a book to read. She knew that I'd only held one baby. It was Cheryl and Andy's baby before Atlanta. She knew that I had no idea what I was doing with babies. She gave me a book to read to ensure I was ready. I got through one chapter of this book. It was the chapter on how to deliver the baby yourself in case of an emergency, right? I wanted to be ready, right? I didn't want that kid to come and surprise me and catch me off guard. I was ready. And we were waiting, anticipating the arrival of someone that we loved with our whole heart. But while we were waiting, we continued to live. While we were waiting, we continued to walk through the life that God had laid out for us. Listen, we walk through the lives that God has laid out of us, and we keep one eye up on heaven waiting for him because of the love that we have for him and our anticipation of his arrival. Our second question this morning as we read this is this, is am I serving Jesus with what he has entrusted to me? Am I serving him with what he's given me, with what he's put in my care while he's gone? That the talents in the parable, they're more than money, right? Warren Wiersbe puts it simply. He says, the talents represent opportunities to use our abilities. Think about that. The talents in this parable are opportunities to use our abilities. Jesus is the master, right? There's no doubt about it. We're his servants. We're his stewards, meaning that we're responsible for what he's entrusted to us. Our job, it's to advance the kingdom, to use what he's given us in a way that honors him and maximizes the opportunities that he's given us, using it for advance the kingdom of God. And look back at the parable. One more thing before we dive deeper into this. Please understand that this whole relationship here, especially with those first two, it's relational. It's not transactional, right? There's a deep, intimate relationship going on here. Listen to the joy in the voice of those first two servants. The master returns, and there's an excitement here. Hey, look, right? You gave me five, and I worked hard. I did a great job. I've got five more, right? They're excited to present that back to the master. The same with two. Think about a kid, right, showing off something incredible that they've done to their mom or their dad, right? Our youngest had his rodeo art selected this year for some kind of district show, and he walked us through up and down all these aisles to find his art on display at this deal, and he was smiling ear to ear. He was thrilled. Dad, look what I did with the art set you got me. Dad, look what I did with the canvas. Dad, look what I did with the opportunity I had in this class. He was so excited. He talked about it for a week. He was excited to present what he had done to his parents. That's it, right? That's these servants here. Look at what I've done. And the master's response is the same, right? Look what he does. He says, well done. He says, great job. He says, you've been faithful. Come and share in the what of your master? Come and share in the business profits of your master. Nope. Come and take the corner office in your master's building. No. Come and share in the joy. Share in my joy. If you're walking with Jesus, you know that it's all about joy. You know there's this relational joy that comes as we walk intimately, hand in hand, heart in heart, with Jesus, seeking to advance his kingdom. And everything that we do with these talents, with these opportunities, is about our love for him and our desire to advance his kingdom. At the end of the day, that well done, good and faithful servant, man, it comes from a heart of love that the servants have for the master. Their love drove them to live lives faithfully before him, and they heard, well done. When we do this, we share in the joy of the kingdom, and kingdom joy trumps earthly joy every day of the week. Third servant didn't hear that. He didn't hear well done. We don't see any kind of relational connection to the master here. He was scared, wasn't he? If you read the text, it says that he was scared, that there's no relationship there, there's no joy there, there's no personal connection there. At the end of the day, because there's no relational connection, it resulted in laziness. There's no love. There's no desire to use his opportunity for the sake of the master. So again, the question for us is this. Are you using what Jesus has entrusted you with to advance the kingdom of God? Way for us to answer that is to say, well, what do I have that belongs to God? What is it that God has entrusted to me? And if you begin to sort of take inventory right now and think about the opportunities that God has entrusted to you, the situations that God has entrusted with you, I'll make it really simple and help your inventory list go a lot quicker. The answer is everything, right? Everything that we have belongs to God. Our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our opportunities, our brains, our resources, our jobs, all of it, right? It all belongs to him, right? For us to truly live out this parable, for us to truly hear well done, like we see these guys in this parable, we've got to approach this from a biblical worldview here. When I say that everything belongs to God, it's not just something that preachers say. It's not just something that you hear in a life group class. It's truth right from the Bible. We see it in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We see it in several different books, several different verses, several different genres of scripture here. It's the same truth. Everything that we have, everything on this earth, it ultimately belongs to God. Deuteronomy 10:14, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven, the heaven of heavens, the earth with all that is in it. And God owns everything. Hebrews 2:10 tells us that everything was created by God, and ultimately everything was created for God. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Deuteronomy 8:17, there's a warning in Deuteronomy 8. It says, beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Mm-mm. You should remember the Lord your God, who's given you the power to get wealth. And then Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell within. Everything that we have, it's been entrusted to us for a season from our Heavenly Father. It's his. He doesn't want us to bury it. He doesn't want us to leave it unused when it comes to advancing his kingdom. right? So let's just take a minute, right, to understand what we really have, right? Most of it's going to fall into one of these four categories here. And I want you to see and just think with me about your life, your unique situation. Everybody's situation in here is different. I want you to think about how these different areas of your life overlap. And in the middle of this overlap, you're going to see that's your kingdom sweet spot. That is where God has uniquely equipped you and is sending you to advance his kingdom. First, please understand that if you're a follower of Jesus, he has entrusted to you spiritual gifts, right? That's number one. He has entrusted to all of his children spiritual gifts. Romans 12:6 says this, having gifts that differ according to the grace that's been given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. There's other sections of God's word that talk about other spiritual gifts as well. But the point that I want you to hear this morning is this, that these are not natural talents that you were born with, right? These are not passions that you develop over time, right? That's not it. The Bible teaches us that when we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are gifted through him in one of these ways. And it's important for us to know and understand and grasp what our spiritual gifts actually are. Why? Because we're supposed to be using them to advance the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be using them to serve the church of our Heavenly Father. And if we don't know what our spiritual gifts are, we might as well have them buried in the ground like that third servant. Have you ever done some work to figure out what your spiritual gift is? Or have you done it recently? We've got a tool. It's great. It's on our website. Our team worked with a few different others, developed it. Make a note of this, or you could even do it right now. You can text the word kingdom to 77069. And if you do that, don't take the quiz until the message is over, please. But do it, right? Text it. Get that link on your phone or make a note to do that at some point today. And there's this online assessment, this quiz, that will ask you questions about your heart, ask you questions about your life, ask you questions about your walk with Jesus. And it's a quiz that will help you determine and reveal the spiritual gifts that God has put inside of you and then where and how you can use them, steward them, to advance the kingdom of God. Number two, we all have passions and interests, right? Every single one of us, we have passions, we have hobbies, we have interests, and there's a better than good chance that your sweet spot, right, your kingdom purpose is going to involve things that you like, things that you are passionate about. Yesterday, we had a ministry called Car Care, and a lot of our guys that like working on cars, what they do, they got together, and they served widows and single parents here in our church family, in our community. They're using their passion, right, their interest, their hobby of fixing cars to invest and to advance the kingdom. Right? Maybe you love baseball, like me. That's a passion of yours. Man, go coach a little league team, right? Invest in some kids, right? Teach and disciple, train up some young men, invest in families, talk about Jesus to the people that are there on your team. Maybe you like to golf. Listen, man, if you golf and you're paired up with some random people when you go out to the course and play, they are your captive audience for hours to talk about the kingdom of God. You'll know you've gone a little overboard if they leave after nine holes. But listen, you use that passion to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe you love to travel. New places. New places mean new people and new opportunities to advance the kingdom of God. Maybe you like to host people in your home. Throw parties. Bring your neighbors in. Advance the kingdom of God. They're students. Maybe you're gifted musically. Maybe you're playing a sport right now. Use those gifts, those passions, those hobbies to advance the kingdom of God in your band, choir, team, school. That there's no end to this list. And some of us have some really, really unique, some might say odd, passions and hobbies. I know this one guy, he is a professional Rubik's Cube solver. Those exist. He tried to teach me to solve it. I can't do it. We worked hard. But listen, it puts him around a unique group of people. It's his sweet spot. God's opened the door for him there to advance the kingdom of God, and he is responsible. He has been entrusted to that unique gift to advance the kingdom of God right there. Number three, all of us have some level of education or skill set that we've developed. No getting around this. Everyone is good at something. All of us have one form of education, and it's put us in a unique position to make a difference where God has us. Maybe you have a skill or an education and you've used it to get you a great job. Use that skill to advance the kingdom of God there. Use your business to advance the kingdom where God has you. We have a member of our church family. God's entrusted him that this really big business, and he has the opportunity to impact and influence and be around a lot of people in our community. And he came to me, it's been a little over a year now, and he said, listen, I don't just want to do this and make money with it, right? How can I use what God has given me? How can I use this opportunity to point families and their kids to a relationship with Jesus? And we sat down and we strategized with it. And he tweaked some things that he was doing. He made adjustments to his business for the sake of the kingdom of God. And he's seen God do incredible things over the course of the past year, where so many children and then their families have given their lives and their hearts to Jesus, but because he's stewarded. And he's taken responsibility for what God has entrusted to him. It's his love for his heavenly Father. It drove him to use his resources to be about more than a bottom line, but to use them to advance the kingdom of God. And then finally, we all have different personal experiences, right? All around this room, we've walked through different things. Some of us have walked through really hard things. And because we've walked through them, what's happened? Now, when we see other people going through them, what we care about what they're going through. But we see it through a different lens. We have this unique, we have this unique compassion, this unique empathy, concern for them. And God can use us in their lives to advance his kingdom. 2 Corinthians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. He comforts us in our affliction. Why? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort that we ourselves received from God. I don't know what's in your background. Maybe cancer and illness is in your background. Maybe addiction is in your background. Maybe abuse is in your background. Maybe divorce is in your background. Maybe just tragic death in your family is in your background. So I want to encourage you this morning and just remind you that everything that you've gone through in this life, God has said that he'll be there to comfort you and love you through it, and then God will send you out to love other people in a way that advances his kingdom. And listen, God doesn't just use the bad experiences. He uses the good ones too. Maybe you've had someone intentionally be with you and sit with you and mentor you and teach you and train you and invest in you and develop you. And so now you've got the soft spot in your heart, and you're ready, willing, and able to do that as well. Listen, I don't know what it is, but I do know that God allows us to experience, as a church family, God has allowed all of us to experience different things. He's allowed all of us to be raised, brought up in different ways. He's allowed all of us to be impacted by different people over the course of our life to fashion us, to form us, to fit us for a unique kingdom purpose, for a unique sweet spot in our lives. Look at how that overlaps, right? God puts all of us together, each one of us in a special way, and with everything that he has, every opportunity that he has given us, our spiritual gifts, our passions, our education, our skills, just our life experiences, all that we've walked through. He's made us in such a way where we have the sweet spot now to go out and advance the kingdom of God. And so the natural next question is, well, where do I put this to work? Let me give you two places and then we'll close. If we've got that sweet spot for ministry by the way that God has put our lives together, first use that sweet spot in the church family. And there's no doubt here, when we look in the book of Acts and we see those first believers gathering together, right? Well, when we see that the church forming and evolving in the New Testament, everyone participated. Nobody sat back and said, hey, just sing the songs that I like. Teach me, feed me, take care of my kids, encourage me, and then I'm going to go do my thing. Right? This is not how it works in the New Testament. That's not the model of the church, right? That the church family works best when everyone is in, right? When everyone is bringing their gifts and their resources and their life experiences, when everyone is bringing their sweet spot to the table with an effort to make disciples and advance the kingdom of God. Let me just say that if you don't have a place in the church family where you're doing that, if you don't have a place where we're using your gifts, let me just tell you very frankly that we need you. right? That the church family needs you. Don't hold back. We need people that are all in to advance the kingdom of God. We need people that can teach. Adults, kids, students. We need people that are good with kids. We need people that are friendly and outgoing. We need people that are musically inclined, that can lead us in worship. We need people that are willing to serve, that'll just say, hey, listen, I don't know what you need right now, but I've got the spiritual gift of service, and I've got the time, and I want to serve. Listen, we reach our fullest potential when everyone is coming to the table seeking to advance the kingdom of God. Use what God has given you to serve one another in the church family. And then number two, use your sweet spot in the community. Right, use it where God sends you every single day. Use it with every opportunity that God lays before you. I love being together on Sunday. Right, I love the encouragement, the worship, the relationships, the time in God's Word. I love the family feeling that we have as everybody comes together, especially after the services. We collide there in the atrium. It's amazing. But listen, if we stayed here all week long and we never engaged the community around us, there's no way we could advance the kingdom like God has called us to advance the kingdom. No, the spiritual gifts, the talents, the education, the skills, the passions, you're uniquely equipped with a sweet spot to advance the kingdom in your corner of the community. Where is that? You an engineer? Job at Exxon down the road there? Yeah, that's your sweet spot. Advance the kingdom of God right there. Amazing people skills? I mean, your sweet spot's all over this community. Engage people at the gospel, at the grocery store, at Starbucks, at a ballpark, somewhere. Advance the kingdom. Has God given you the spiritual gift of mercy? Or do you have a soft heart for people going through a hard time? Go to the CareNet table out there. Talk to CareNet Pregnancy Center. Spend your time. Let that be your sweet spot. Praying with, encouraging, discipling people in times of crisis in their life. Are you great at talking to kids? Talk to an elementary school principal around here. They are begging every single week for parents that love and care about kids to come be a positive influence in a kid's life by speaking to them eye to eye at their level, at their table at lunch for 30 minutes a week. They tell us all the time the eternal impact that makes. If you love talking to kids, maybe that's your sweet spot. You great at making money? Listen, I've got some friends, that's their thing. Everything they touch, it just turns to gold. It's amazing. Right, and they use that gift to advance the kingdom. That the stories of sacrifice, the stories of ministry, the stories of community engagement, worldwide engagement. Seriously, we talk about this all the time, that they could live at this level, they choose to live at this level and give everything else away to advance the kingdom of God. God's given them that unique gift. He has entrusted it to them, and here's what they understand. Man, God's entrusted it to them to advance the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of self. And they have a short time to do it. Maybe you have an eye for decorating. Go check out the Finishing Touches Ministries table out there in the lobby after the service. Right? They make a house a home in the name of Jesus. They share the gospel through the gift that God has given them to decorate a home. Right? They found their ministry sweet spot, and they're using it to advance the gospel in our community every single week. Listen, all of us, just walk through those tables when we dismiss here in just a minute, and look and see. Maybe God will use and spark something in your heart and just reveal, man, this is your sweet spot. This is what he's called you to do. This is how he's uniquely equipped and designed you to advance the gospel in your corner of our community. I could go on and on, but the point of today is this. We have a Savior, and he is going to come back. We've been entrusted opportunities, spiritual gifts, natural talents. We've been entrusted physical resources, and we're to use them to advance his kingdom and not ours while we wait for him to come back. Jesus tells this parable to remind us, don't waste your time. Don't waste your gifts. Don't bury them in the sand. Don't make it about you. Don't let the clock run out. If you love God with your heart, soul, and strength, I'm going to encourage you this morning, find that ministry sweet spot and use everything that he's given you to honor him and advance his kingdom. Would you pray with me this morning? Their heads bowed. I just want to encourage you. Just lift up a prayer to him. God, help me to really think and understand everything that you've entrusted to me. God, help me to understand every gift, every talent, every opportunity. God, help me to understand every situation. God, help me to understand it's all been entrusted to me by you, and that you've called me to use it in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. Let that be your prayer this morning. Begin to think about your sweet spot for kingdom purpose. Begin to think about how God has put your life together. There's only one you. Nobody else in this room has the same sweet spot. Everybody's just a little bit different. All with the same calling and the same purpose. To love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and ultimately to advance his kingdom. Heavenly Father, God, that's our heart. That's our prayer this morning. God, I pray that we would earnestly and honestly think about our lives and just answer the question, God, are we using what you have entrusted to us to the best of our ability to advance your kingdom? God, help us to take your word, understand your word, apply and live your word. God, help us to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. God, we thank you. God, we commit our lives to doing exactly what you have called us to do. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.